When you haven't found love, it can feel like everyone else has. It's in every movie, every song, and all the PDA. Looking for love sucks. Thankfully, California Psychics can give you the guidance you need to find the one. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
The DNI is releasing documents that are unnerving, and they sent it over to the Department of Justice. So let's use the process of getting it out of the politics of the moment. And if there's any there, have a special counsel look at it. I'm not going to make a judgment about who did what, but I think the country would be well served by a process that allowed somebody outside of DOJ to look at it. That's what we did in the past.
Lindsey Graham made the rounds this weekend, Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina, saying that a special counsel should be appointed to investigate the, I don't know what we're calling it, Obamagate from 2016. Ryan Schmelz is here, Fox News Radio, Capitol Hill, and White House correspondent. Hi, Ryan.
What's going on? How are you?
So is this, from Senate Republicans, primarily Lindsey Graham, is this a surprise? Would this be them getting behind it? Or are they saying, nah, yeah, kind of, but let's do it this way?
It's hard to really know because we don't know what the attorney general wants to do. You know, right now the ball is in Pam Bondi's court, and it's up to her to decide what she wants to do about potentially investigating Barack Obama. Now, keep in mind, if they were to appoint a special counsel, if they were to prosecute, no matter what, the Supreme Court's already given presidents immense amounts of unity when it comes to, pretty much they have a lot of protections now because of the case that President Trump argued before the Supreme Court. So President Trump's lawyers in his election interference case in many ways have given Barack Obama a lot of potential prosecutorial protections that he otherwise wouldn't have had beforehand. But that doesn't exactly exempt members of his cabinet if that's where they want to go.
Ryan, can you explain the process for us a little bit with this? Is it that the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, came out and she presented all this evidence? Now that evidence, she refers it to the DOJ for prosecution. I understand that part. But does the DOJ then now have to completely start from scratch with that evidence?
I think that's part of it, yeah. I mean, they pretty much have to do their own case, and they can just use the information that the DNI gave them and decide if that's valid or not. So pretty much, yeah, I think they would have to launch their own investigation from scratch. They'd have to do it their own way and all that. But they'd be able to use, obviously, the information they got from the intelligence community. They would just have to pretty much go through the normal procedural routes after that.
What is the sense, since you're there, what is the sense on Capitol Hill? Is this a really big story that the American people and media aren't really focusing on enough? Or is this kind of a partisan game? Some people are treating it as a big deal. Others are trying to downplay it like usual.
I mean, I've seen a lot of mainstream outlets covering this one. So, I mean, you know, we had questions asked by a reporter from another network that was on our radar to be asking Hakeem Jeffries not too long ago, which we thought was like, oh, okay, wow, that's interesting. And then, you know, there's a big back and forth right now between Democrats and Republicans on this. I mean, the number one argument I think you hear from Democrats is that they call this a distraction because they believe that this is a way for Trump to divert and not talk about the Epstein files and to get something else into the news. Whereas Republicans, I mean, this is kind of vindication for some of them that, you know, they believe that President Trump always was, they believe President Trump always was having collusion against him, whether it was Barack Obama or it was Democrats in Congress while he was in office. But, you know, remember, President Trump had to deal with this story for like a good 3 years during his first administration. So it was a nonstop news cycle with him being asked about this Russian collusion case. So I think Republicans in many ways are kind of saying this is finally, you know, the information we've been waiting for, even though we've known it the whole time.
Ryan, I'm glad you mentioned that. It's weird the parallels here, because in the first administration or the first term of Trump, you had the Russia investigation with the special counsel and this constant narrative that plagued Trump that we know now at least it looks to be completely made up. That was the first 2-3 years of his first term. Now he's in second term. And we're talking about what, maybe the first 2-3 years of the second term, they're going to be reverse investigating this? I mean, I guess, is that the timeline? Is that this could take that long?
Well, I don't know. That's the big question. I mean, when you're prosecuting, if you're going to try to prosecute or investigate an entire administration, there's a lot of things you're going to have to find out. And there's a lot of people you're going to have to interview. And I mean, we're going back years. I mean, we don't even know if the statute of limitations still is in effect for some of these cases. So that might be something that works against them too. But yeah, I mean, this was 3 years of President Trump's presidency. That's a lot of timeline for them to work with and a lot of information they're going to have to deal with too. So where they even start, where they even go, we don't know. It's still very early.
Ryan, let me ask you about the other maybe less salacious news stories going on Capitol Hill. You're there and covering Congress, of course, as usual. Is Congress on recess right now?
The House is on recess. The Senate comes back to this evening.
So I've seen a lot of people, as usual, influencers and so forth, criticizing this recess, saying that this is something they shouldn't be doing because they should be there getting Trump's picks through still, which we're still, you know, 6 months in, he hasn't gotten them all through apparently. But then also that the way that Johnson is doing this, that something like he's gaveling back in every few days so that it's not an official recess. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah. So that's called a pro forma session. They do this every time Congress is out. Pretty much one member will come, they will preside over the House, and then they'll gavel in and gavel out relatively quick. They'll like insert legislation into the congressional record. They do some like procedural stuff like that. So Speaker Johnson does have to do this every once in a while. Like, it has to be him. It cannot be somebody else.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
That is. What was the other question? So the Senate is still in. So the August recess has not happened yet for the Senate. They have threatened this idea of not going home for August recess. So the leader Thune's kind of teased this idea of them staying in town to confirm as many of Trump's nominees as possible. And one thing that was pointed out earlier is like they're actually ahead of schedule for most presidential administrations. Thune has actually been pretty solid about getting a lot of President Trump's nominees through as quickly as possible, with a lot of things working against him. I mean, there has been a lot of stonewalling tactics and a lot of delays that Democrats have attempted over some other issues that have made this a more drawn out process than Republicans would like. And the one thing Thune likes to point out constantly is that President Trump, at this point in his term, has not had a single cabinet nominee decided by either voice vote or unanimous consent, which is very rare that at this point you haven't had that happen yet. So he's kind of using that as an example of how little Democrats are willing to play ball with confirming some of these nominees. And despite that, they've still gotten a good amount confirmed. I think they're ahead of what they were in the first term of President Trump and ahead of, you know, maybe even Joe Biden and Barack Obama, too.
See, this is why I like asking you these questions directly, because if you just read it online, it would sound like they're historically behind. But yeah, that's not the case. Last question for you, Ryan. What is the agenda for Congress after this recess? What's big on the docket?
Well, here's the other reason why they're getting so much criticism for the recess is because they've got a government funding battle that's going to happen the minute they get back. We've got until the end of September to get a government funding agreement to avoid a shutdown. And I don't think they're getting back till like early September. So they're going to have less than 30 days to work with when they get back here. And Speaker Johnson has said he wants to pass the 12 individual spending bills, what they call appropriations bills. The Senate's trying to get theirs done as well, and they might vote on like two or three this week. But, you know, to get all 12 of those passed, you know, you're going to have to negotiate them too. So the House will pass theirs, the Senate will pass theirs, then they've got to negotiate them. But only problem is the Senate's got needs 60 votes, so they're going to need Democrats to play ball with them. And will Democrats be willing to play ball is a entirely separate conversation.
Well, we talked to Representative Bost a couple days ago, and he said they were about 60% of the way there, which sounds nice, but I would also figure that's probably the easiest 60%, and the rest of it's the hard part, right?
Well, and it's also easier for the House just to pass their own bills because they can do the simple majority there. But the reality is whatever bills the House is passing, that's not what the final version is going to look like, because they're going to need 60 votes in the Senate. They're going to need some Democrat votes. So there's going to have to be some type of negotiation. So obviously wishful thinking makes you think that Republicans are going to be able to get, you know, bills that they like at some point done. Not everything they want, but, you know, they've got the leverage. They've got the majority in the House. They've got the majority in the Senate. So, you know, one would think that they're going to look more conservative than they look liberal. But, you know, how much negotiating power Democrats are willing to give up and how much they're willing to play ball. You know, even if they're just a couple are willing to play ball, that might not be enough. They're going to need at least three to get to 60 votes. And then you maybe could potentially lose somebody like Rand Paul. You could lose some of the moderate members. You could lose some of the hardliners. You know, there's a risk that you run when you do the negotiating phase, because there's some Republicans who might just not like the final product.
Sounds like what you're telling us, Ryan, is that throughout the next probably 2 months plus, the headline that we're going to be talking about with you is government shutdown. How close are we?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
In September, it's probably going to be the story like 95% of the time.
All the time. Yeah. Yeah. Ryan Schmell, Fox News Radio, Capitol Hill, and White House correspondent. Thank you, as always.
Good to see you.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. We are going to take a short break here. I think when we come back, I'll kind of leave this up to you. You know, if you want to get into the chat and let us know if you watched Happy Gilmore 2 this weekend. Brad says he did. We haven't talked about it yet. I've watched about half of it, and I'll give you my review when we come back, if you all are talking about it in the chat. If you're not, we'll just avoid the topic because it's not as big of a deal as I thought. But if you're watching it, let us know, and we'll be right back.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.